any of you.
Sometimes it's hard to distinguish when we're meditating and something comes to us between what is a machination of the mind and what is truly a spiritual enlightenment. For instance, when we see ourselves inside, or we will see things that are of a very mundane level that we're preoccupied with every day, and I will sit in meditation. Sometimes these things I don't seem to have any control of them. I don't want to.
Your aggression and mixed up with so many things.
Yes.
But you speak of immaculation, then you speak of seeing your own form. What particular do you want?
I want to know how to distinguish, or are we to distinguish when these forms come to us, or just to...
Well, you may say whatever form comes within, repeat the five names which are charged with any negative question. Yes. Sometimes negative power affects you. You do wrong things. So repeat the five names. For that purpose, you have been given a safeguard against all these things.
Master, I asked you, I think it's in California, sometimes in meditation you have this terrific vibration which you can't seem to control, and you said not to think of the body.
Yes.
But sometimes it's so very strong that I have to stop meditating. I get so nervous and I feel as if I was being electrocuted or something. What can I do to stop that?
You see, then you do it in the right way. You see, if you do it in the right way, don't think of your body. There's no trouble. If anything like that, that's relieve it out. That's the problem.
It's so powerful that I can't help but think of the body. I don't want to. But
not every day like that.
No, but at times. And then it rises to my throat and I feel as if I was choking.
That is due to wrong way of doing the practice. Prana is involved.
But I don't do any yoga techniques anymore.
Well, choking of throat cannot come. Unless prana is involved. Breathing is involved, first it goes slowly, at intervals, then it just chokes, you see. That is wrong way of doing it.
But I don't do any steps since I was initiated by you.
These are involved. You don't do it purposely.
No.
While doing it, sometimes breathing is involved, unknowingly involved, then naturally that choking arises. If it is done in the right way.
But you know what, tell you something strange. I've had that experience mostly when I've meditated when you have been there. Now in Vancouver, in the morning meditation.
Yes.
I sat right next to you and it was so terrific. I got that power so much that it was terrible. It was wonderful, but it was almost terrifying. And it happens more when you're around.
It means when I'm around the radiation, you see. While in a hurry, you see that withdrawn, soul is withdrawn, but your thought is not altogether, free of the body, consciousness. That is where that breathing is involved in choking. And sometimes out of emotions too, you see, emotions sometimes bring on choking, you see. Two reasons, no other reason can tell you. Let us tell you in a worldly way. You are going to meet a friend whom you love. Maybe father, mother, brother, anyone. And he wishes to come along. And when you go to your friend, you take so many children and other things like that, you see. You are going to meet him, there will be no time for you to speak to him. And he will also not be able to devote his whole time with you. You see? This is only you are thinking, now you have to go to God. God is all alone. Is it not? You have no father, no mother, no brother. So naturally he wants everybody to come to him all alone. That nobody, he doesn't want anything to take with you. No worldly things, not even your body, not even your intellect. He says, you come alone. Then these things won't arise. For whatever little time you devote, that will bear forth full fruit. When we are sitting, you see, we are not to think of the outside things, not think of the body, not think of the breathing, not even think of the thinking, you see. We should be physically still and intellectually still too. If you do it in the right way, then no trouble.
But if you're intellectually still, you're repeating the five.
Those become automatic. When you think meaning thereof, your intellect works. You don't think of the meaning, few days after they become automatic. The charging helps. You are told not to think of the meanings, although the meanings are given to you. You are not to visualize, you are not to think of the meaning. Automatic it will go on, charging helps. Thinking and intellect will come and think, well, this word means this. This plane has such and such lights, such and that is it. So don't simply look sweetly, be fully absorbed. It is a question of the intellect. I mean, seeing the soul, attention you will say, attention is the outward expression of the soul. These are the rays of the, that the rays of the sun enlighten the whole world. Even this rays of the attention, attention are the rays of the soul, you see, that enlighten the whole body. If those rays are withdrawn, the body will be dark. When sun sets, all rays are withdrawn, there will be darkness. Similarly, the body will be dark. You have no thought of the body, only it is your attention that gives you feeling of the body. So if you do it rightly, there is no trouble. Errors do creep in, you see. Automatically, generally. Then that trouble arises.
Master, can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
After you are drawn into the radiant form of the Master from within,
yes.
And you want to go higher,
yes.
Does the radiant form of the Master dissolve into the Word or the Man?
Yes.
Does the radiant form of the Master continue to remain in higher regions?
In the lower planes it continues, but absorption comes in at every plane. When you devote all attention into the form of the Master, you become sometimes absorbed, but that continues for the stay. Absorption is better. It does become at night, at light. You are light, you become one, you forget, but you are conscious all the same. That does come at every step. Ultimate job, it becomes one, you see, there's no form. When you absorb into Satnam, then Satnam makes you. Final absorption comes there. Otherwise, that form continues to work in the regional form or the different things.
I'd like to know when you're coming back again.
Well, I'll never go. Is your wife sending me? I will go. You can have to go to another. You are also not at home all the day long. Is it? Now you are not at your home. Physically, you are not at home. Is it? But your thought is there. Isn't it? So I'll come when God will this. I have no issue.
Master, what plane are you in when you see the golden light?
That is just the beginning. But in that golden light, the form of the Master appears. That is not the lowest.
That is not the lowest?
Form appears in golden light generally.
Is that the third plane or the fourth plane?
Well, it is just again with the master forms appears only just when you rise above Tirukuti.
Okay.
And before that does manifest to show that he is with you. Sometimes you say that was the form goes. Sometimes generally it is when you cross the big star and moon, then the form appears. But even that appears before manifest to give consolation to the initiate the time with you, that power is with you.
Master, it would seem that before one initiates, the first thing one should do is begin to be honest with himself.
Little louder, please.
If before one is initiated, one
yes.
begins with trying to be honest
yes.
with self.
Yes.
And although you may feel that so far as the rules are concerned, a diet or something, this would be no problem.
Yes.
But within yourself, you know still that you do have doubts. Would you welcome into initiation one who is quite willing to admit that there is doubt, but wants to try?
Doubt? What sort of doubt? About the theory?
Well, I don't know. Just
No, you must know. You just clarify your doubt. In what way? If you are
the uninitiated, it's the fear of the unknown or
my
experience. Or
no, my point is, you see, first try to understand the theory. What you cannot understand, let it be clarified. Then take up. Full conviction will arise when you see things for your own self. When intellectually you are satisfied that these are the teachings of all masters. You see? You take it up as an experimental maya. Then if you get something, then naturally you must be convinced. Man cannot be convinced unless he sees things for his own self and he testifies himself.
Even if you are not certain that you are prepared and that you have answered your questions,
I tell you. The man who is, in whose heart this question of the mystery of life will enter, that he is with, that God's grace, this question has arisen. That day is the greatest in the man's life. On which day this question of the mystery of life enters one's heart. That cannot be stamped out unless it is solved. The very question that it arises that shows God wants to give you. Your hunger for that. There's food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. So as question remains about the ethical life all around. In the old days, you see, there was the rule, I would say now, the people came to the feet of the Master. They kept them for longer times, and when they saw that they had dwelt fully, then they gave them the initiation. It is said one king of Bukhara, you see, went to Kabir and lived with him for about 6 years. And he was very obedient, everything like that. The Loi, Mata Loi was serving with, was living with Kabir Sahib. He recommended Kabir that here the king has, he has been here with us for 6 long years. He is very quiet, very obedient. Why don't you give me initiation? Then Kabir told him that he is not yet ready. And Loi told him, well, what is please, very quiet, very obedient, very, I mean, quiet in every way. I mean, how do you say he's not fit? He said, all right, when he now goes out of the house, just you hide yourself in a place where he cannot see you and throw all these issues of the house over his head. And just hear what he says. No. And when she threw like that, and so, had I been in my own country, I would have seen what this means. So then, ask him, what did you find? He said, he like that. That kingship had not gone, still he said, oh, had I been there, I would have done this and that thing. So then another 5-6 years passed. Then Kabir said, well, now he is ready. He said, well, I find no difference between the first half and now. And now do it when he passes out of the house. Then throw all this, what is your washroom? You see, all filth over the head. Then hear what he said. When she did so, he said, oh God, I am worse than that. So it takes man to be made. Man making it difficult. Finding of God is not difficult. But now the times have changed. So much materialistic it is. Who is going to stay with the master for years? You see? And just abide what he says and live at his house. Excuse me. And again, no time to spare time and sit at the feet of the master. You see, even they have got their own some difficulty in their meditation, oh, I have to go to the work. I tell them, can't you take 1 or 2 hours sleep too? So the times have changed now in a way, those who have got the hunger for that, the thinking in their minds, they take them up from their custody. They take up the work of preparation, making him as well as giving them all the same together. And prescribe for making maintenance of diaries for self-introspection from day to day. And they give them the experience then and there, so they, when they come in contact with that higher light or sound principle, that will go from inner to help him. And by outer, weeding out by all imperfections from day to day. He then takes heed that the light which is in you is not dark or anything. So this, the present times have changed. Those who have intrinsic desire, they are put on the way. They are given some experience with the grace of God to start with. Otherwise the people are not going to believe you go on doing and you will have it after that. See? Do it, go on, do it. How long will you continue to do it? People have been coming to me who were initiated by somewhere. They have been putting in time 2, 3, 4 hours daily. With all that they had nothing, they left it. You got something to start with, then you can develop it. So this present time is changed, you see. The work of making up is also started side by side along with the given experience, the very first time. And when he sees the experience as the experience himself, then I think he has something to stand on, isn't it? No question of doubt. The doubt means that's only how to live up to that. So, know those who are just entered the intellectual field, you see, they must understand the why and wherefore of things. Others they won't take up. For there they will require some evidence from the past masters. And also whether that appeals to their common sense. If do those things, I mean they are intellectually satisfied there, then they take up as an experimental winger. Even then they are very skeptic. Possibly it may not be. But when they have something to start with, let them go. So maintenance of that is necessary. To take heed that this light, which is whatever is given at the time of initiation, is not dogged. This is how the matter stands for the present day.
Master, this might seem an odd question, but for instance, I just recently moved to Denver, as I told you, in Texas, and we don't have a group there, satsang. Ponce and I would like to start when we meditate in my little apartment, Lena's mother and I together. And does it do any harm if you go to another group that meditates? I mean, would there be any conflict of vibration or anything if we went and meditated with another group?
What group?
Well, for instance, self-realization. They have a group in Denver where they just meditate. And they have asked us to come for meditation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing naturally any of the techniques I gave them up several years ago when I was initiated by you. But I was wondering if there'd be any conflict of vibration or anything.
Did I told you not to go?
No, you didn't. I'm asking you. I don't want to.
No, for that thing, you see. Mm-hmm. If you go there, don't follow their way of meditation, but do your own.
That's what I mean.
The other thing, when you men of the same way sit together, there will be more radiation. You follow me? There's a radiation from the master too.
From Yogananda, you mean, their master. Would it affect me?
I'm talking something else.
Oh, excuse me.
When you go to somebody, don't change your mode of meditation.
Oh, I see.
And if you just sit by those who are just doing the same meditation, there is more radiation.
Oh.
I just stop you by going to any place.
I just know whether there'd be a conflict of vibration if there was any conflict.
Don't you follow now what I said? If you think of Swami Yogananda there, then there will be conflict. Because Yogananda is not there. You see?
I follow the principle then, Master. Where two or more gather together in my
name. This is? In my name.
That's right, in my name.
You've got to experience it. I don't mean in any way to reflect on Swami Yogananda. I don't mean that, you see. One is a living force, radiation, going on through the world. When you sit in the name, one or two men radiation is there. Those who have left the body, they have to work through the human ball, working on the human plane. You see? That's the law. I never stopped anybody going anywhere.
Well,
but that I did say that where there is a group in it, you must attend.
Yes.
Because you are benefited by radiation.
Well, I had gone, but I was just wondering about it. So I thought more of it.
No, the matter is clear. But I never stopped you from going there.
No.
Understand the principle, you see. Truly speaking, I tell you what the old Egyptians used to do. They gave initiation, gave the way. They did not give the experience, I tell you. And they just put them on the way by intellectually, then told them for 2 years to remain quiet, not to talk to anybody. go on with meditation for 2 long years. They were called mystics. By putting 2 years regularly on the way, naturally the Veda, sometimes in fashion. When the inner ways opened, they were called epoptists. You know? Now this door is very open very first day. Door is open very first day, you see the light. Some experience. So best thing is when you are initiated, don't talk to anyone. Do your daily livelihood work. The rest you need not talk to anyone. Talk to your master. You talk to others. What is the loss there? You talk to others, you want to show your superiority to others, egoism there, you lose. Suppose there's a friendship in the worldly way. You got a friendship with somebody, love with somebody, you won't let anybody, dare to let anybody know about it, is it? Why? This is love, your love with God, why should broadcast it? You want only for guidance, who can guide you. And it is the master who can guide you. You see? Do your... He doesn't say leave the work and don't... Just live in your arm, your livelihood. Bring up, nourish your children. Just keep up your body. And go on with it. Let the wild flower grow in darkness. We throw seeds anywhere. I am doing, I see where, if I tell you, I am in a very intoxicated state. And then I say, yes. And when I sit there, that's a natural problem. Well, your eyes are unyoked. And you have not become yet perfect. What is it? He takes you as the ideal. You stand between him and the master. Where will you go? The other man who follows you takes you as the wrong ideal. He is first doomed, and your progress is returned. This is very critical point, you see. When you are, this is just worldly way, when you engage to somebody, be drawn to somebody, but think of him all alone, you see, the God in him. Don't hate for any, don't have any hatred for anybody. Go on with it, you'll find it. Sometimes people go on with it. They begin to tell one another, this is life, this is life. The result is, their progress is lessened. And here too you find many. Those who say we had more progress before, now we have got less. And what's the reason for that?
And the natural law comes in with a negative power and takes away when you do that.
Yes. You follow my point?
Yes, I understand, yes.
This is to be followed by everybody, you see. When you are given a doubt, well, you go to the highest, let people say. Then it's all right. You have got a little water with you, for instance. You begin to sprinkle. That's be in contact with the perennial source. Then thousands, millions will come. Then you become conscious co-worker that is not you doing, but God is doing. These are the little things I think stand in every man's way. Those who have got little experience, for instance, they sometimes see master within. They are too little to talk. Sometimes that negative power appears. They are misguided. Some things come true, others become wrong. Result is, in the other soul, he is Sanjay. And the man who says, he also feels I have no better. I get letters sometimes by such like people. Now the master within me will guide me. Well, I tell them already, the master within you, if he guides you, write to me, get it confirmed by writing by me. The result is, those who follow them, they are just retarded, you see. I don't see why people are after becoming a master. They may have got that ideal before them, but they have not come master. When they become master, let them say they are master. Even then they won't say. Those who are masters, they don't say we are masters. This is God's power working. It's your father in me doing. He never said I am doing. Son of man is differentiated from the God in man. And others who have just little, they assert, And there, this is one of the causes of the groups. Some follow this man, some follow that man. Result is the split. There's no problem.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first 30 minutes of a question and answer session called Mind is a Thief in the Form of a Friend, given by Master on January 23, 1964 in Washington, D.C. Our reader this evening is Christine Clevenger. Hello, Christine.
Good evening to everyone. Tonight I am reading Master's talk called Out of Bondage, which can be found in the January 1970 Satsang Desh. God is known as Sat, or ever-existing, and the world is Asat, or changing. In the Hindu holy scriptures, it states that the world is all Asat, and only the soul is Sat. Why is the soul called Sat? Because it is made of one substance only, and that is all consciousness. If anything is made of one substance, there is no question of its disintegrating. Why is the world Asat? Because it is made of matter in the form of elements, which in turn are broken down into atoms, neutrons, protons, etc., and any admixture of substances is subject to disintegration. Our body is an exact copy of the Brahmand, or the three divisions of creation, for we have three bodies within us, corresponding to the physical, astral, and causal planes. God has given us a body made of matter, through which we are working in this world, which is also made of matter. At the time of death, we leave this body and use the astral body, which works in the next plane, sometimes known as the other world. Ahead of this, there is the causal body. The purpose of these bodily coverings is to enable us to work in all three worlds whenever we are so inclined, and if we feel like it, to take off all three coverings and go into God's lap. When we come to this world, the greatest knowledge we can have is that only in the physical form can we realize the truth, or God. How can we know God? He cannot be known through the senses, mind, intellect, or through the pranas, or vital airs. If God is to be realized, only the soul can do it. When can the soul get this experience of realization? When it has freed itself from the mind and the senses. What is the condition of the soul at present? The soul is everlasting and cannot die, but because it has come under the influence of the mind, it has become jiva, soul with coverings, and as such, it must therefore travel on the cycle of birth and death. Furthermore, by the connection with the senses and outer enjoyments, it has identified itself with the body and the world, so much so that it has forgotten its true self and God the Creator. We are the soul in human form, all consciousness, having a physical covering. In this human form, we can realize God, but only when we first come to know ourselves. As long as we do not know who we are, we cannot comprehend what God is. Just consider that this body is the temple of God, and it maintains its glory while the soul is in it. But we are imprisoned in the body, imprisoned. In the Upanishads, the question is asked, who is the maker of this wonderful body? It has two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, mouth, genital, and excretory orifices, and yet the indweller cannot run out of it. The breath goes out, but it does not stay out. Some power pushes it back into the body. It is that power which we have to know, and that is the power we call God. While we are with the body, it is glorious. And for how long are we with it? For as long as that power keeps us with it. When that power leaves, we must leave also. This very same power is controlling all levels of creation. There are innumerable planets, stars, etc. It is obvious that they are all working with perfect rhythm and control and do not crash into one another. When that power leaves the different levels of creation, dissolution and also grand dissolution occurs. So all rishis and saints, no matter from which country, caste, or creed they came, have advised mankind in similar words. O brothers, this body has been given to you that you might know yourselves. The Upanishads and other scriptures state, know thyself. There are many different ways of doing so. Some people just say, I am not the body, but merely repeating the fact does not give knowledge of it. They are drawing inferences that they are not the body. They repeat, this is my body, this is my mind, I am not the body, I am not the mind. I have got intellect, but I am not the intellect. Such people should also ask themselves, if this is mine, can I take it off? Can I separate myself from this? It is one thing to feel that one is not the body, mind, intellect, and pranas, but has one ever separated oneself from them? For example, this is my watch. I take it off and leave it there. This is my handkerchief, and I put it aside. This is my book. I can place it where I like. And all these things, because they are mine. This body is also mine. Can I take it off? Can I separate myself from it at will? On death, we do separate from the body. But if we could leave it while living, we would see everything with correct perception. As it is, we do not see things in the right light and are going along in an illusion. When we do not know ourselves, what I mean is, the soul has to free itself from the mind and the senses and thereby know itself. If this does not happen, we have not done anything in life. To see is something different, for it is not enough to use the intellect to state, I am not this, I am not that. One may still the intellect by doing so, but one cannot get out of the forgetfulness. That power which controls us, whom we call God, also resides in this body with us. But to see God is impossible unless we first know ourselves. So you see, the question of whether we can or cannot see God is a very specialized subject. Before going further into this talk, I want to explain that this spiritual science is not any particular sect or religion. Whatever religion you belong to, I congratulate you, and you should stay in it. All religions are like schools into which we have been admitted. What was the reason for our admission? Was it not to realize God? Naturally, that school is best, from which more boys graduate. Say that a certain school is very well built, with beautiful playing fields and smart uniforms for the boys to wear, but no boy graduates from that school. What is the use of that? How did all the various religions come into being? Always when a self-realized and God-realized man come, who had analyzed himself from the mind and the senses, and had experienced the Lord. Just as I can see you and you can see me, so they saw God. Whoever came into close contact with them became capable of seeing the same after freeing themselves of the mind and senses. I have just given an example about my body, my mind, and that one has to rise above this to experience the Lord. In this way, they became the ones who could see the life sustainer. When they left the world, the religions were formed in order to keep their teachings fresh, but up to then, they themselves had formed no sect or religion. The real purpose of forming a sect was to enable everyone to sit together to realize God as that particular master had taught them. Is that not so? Man is a social being, and so the social organizations or sects were formed. However, when the sects were formed, customs, rites, and rituals were also introduced, and these come under aparavidya, or exoteric knowledge. All this is useful as preparation of the ground. If one's deeds are good, then one will gain a reward. But the cycle of life and death will not cease in this way. It can only finish when one is able to see that he is the doer and not I. If a person continues to consider that he is doing everything, then whatever he sows, he will reap, and good deeds will bring forth good fruit, bad deeds the opposite. Lord Krishna said that both these types of karmas are like gold or iron chains which bind. So the subject is one of self-analysis in a practical way, and when you have come to know yourself, then only will you see God. When we think that we see and understand something, we really only see through the eyes of some past master by reading his words in the scriptures. They all say, "We have seen God." Have we also seen him? This is the question we must put to ourselves. When you ask a small child, "Who are you?" he gets confused, opens his eyes and mouth wide, and tries to concentrate. He has some awareness of consciousness, but as he grows older, the samskaras or outer impressions have their influence on him. Then he starts saying, "I am Singh, Khan, Jones, Smith, etc." Ask him who he is a few years later and he will say, "I am a Hindu, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, Jain," and so on. Isn't that forgetfulness? A small child is more conscious of his true nature. Who are we? We are conscious entities. All masters in the past have said that we should know ourselves and then think about getting to know the ultimate reality. Whenever they come, they tell us, "Oh man, this body has been given to you through great good fortune." the Devi and Devta, rulers of the various upper regions, are striving to get back into a human form. So how fortunate we are to have that for which such exalted souls are yearning. Have we realized God? If so, it is good, but how many can say that they do see and can also make others see the light of God? There are very few. We have merely bookish knowledge or knowledge through hearsay. A master's greatness lies in the fact that he sees and can show others what he sees. How? He withdraws our attention from the outer environments and takes it above the mind and the senses. He then makes us realize that we are not the physical body. This is what is called an inner experience. Through the intellect, we have been declaring that we are not the body, but in truth, we must see the fact and not just say so. We must separate ourselves from the physical, astral, and causal bodies. On rising above all three, one will know that I am the soul. One is then capable of seeing the controlling power called God. Even rising above the physical body alone will bring the knowledge that it is not I, but He who is the doer. It is most important to have this practical experience. Our minds are like huge libraries full of books containing the words of past masters, throughout which is written that this master said this, that master said that. No doubt all masters have spoken the truth and they wrote what they saw. But have we seen anything? Have we, in truth, separated the life from the matter? Words cannot fill an empty stomach. The food for the hungry soul is the holy nam, or God into expression, power. And the food for the body is bread and water. Food for the intellect is to read, write, and reason. Even those who sincerely try to understand God through books are very few in number, so neither feelings, emotions, nor inferences will help us. There is some power in control, which is called God. Saints or masters have called that power Nam. That Nam is the controlling power, or God into expression power. It is that power which is upholding us and has tied us to this body. The past masters have expressed in the books the helping factors and the hindrances on the spiritual path. Such books are most valuable, and we are blessed that we can read about their experiences. However, if you go to one who sees, he will say, "Come, sit down, and I will show you what I have seen," which is vastly different. There have always been very few such spiritual masters in the world at any time, and even now, there are not many. However, the world is not without them. For feeding the intellect, one can find many masters. And to be very frank, if a person has not broken free from the delusion, how can he give light to anyone? He will say, "It is either this or it is that." But in truth, what is it? No one can give an experience unless they are themselves connected. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. These are the facts about true masters. They also ask, how was your body made? Have you ever thought about it? Just from one small sperm? And that is the power that makes the form in the womb of the mother? And what is the power that makes the form in the womb of the mother? The eyes are made, nose is made, hair, etc., everything perfectly made. Is there not some power doing all this? There must also be a power, a maker of this world. Have we seen that power? Just think, there are millions of stars in the sky and in what rhythmical control they are moving. There are some planets which are seen by man only after the passage of 5,000 years. To consider all this, one's intellect reels. These stars do not collide with one another, for there is some power which is holding them in their correct positions. The same power is holding us. What is that power? The masters say that you may want the answer to this great mystery, and you will get it, but you have to know yourself first. Kabir Sahib, a past master, said that there is no difference between the soul and God. God is all consciousness, and the soul is a drop of that consciousness. With one thought from that all-powerful consciousness, millions of worlds were created. Our soul is also very powerful. But can it even make one small city? What is the reason for this? We are micro-gods too, but we have become so weak and helpless. We have come under the influence of the mind and the senses, and all our power is scattered outwardly. If we could but control it, withdraw it, and release ourselves from the mind and senses to become single-pointed, then our soul would be very powerful. This is a practical subject. We have got such power that we could give strength to others, but we have become the body, we have become the senses and the mind. So all masters have said again and again, man, know thyself. Both Kabir Sahib and Tulsi Sahib in almost identical words have said that God and the soul are one and the same. The soul is eternal, surat, or attention, is full of bliss, just as God is. It has the same quality as God. On a miniature scale, it is a reflection of God. I will give you an example to illustrate this. Many times we have helped take dead bodies to the cremation ground by carrying them on our shoulders and have perhaps lighted the fire with our own hands, but even then we cannot seem to realize that we also have to go. Why is this? Because this body contains the reflection of God. If there is a big fool among other fools, he will think there is none more clever than himself because of that reflection of God in him. Everyone is eternal in himself because he is the same as God. The masters say that we are so much in God that our soul is in God, and God is in our soul. When we meet a spiritual master, we begin to understand what thought or truth is. He gives us an experience of the beyond. An experience means that he frees us from the mind and the senses and makes us see who we are, not through intellect or feelings. First, we should know who we are. We are conscious entities. We are the children of a lion and have great strength, but we have made ourselves weak and helpless. For another example, the rays of the sun do not burn us, but if we pass them through a convex lens, those rays become concentrated and can burn anything upon which they fall. So we have got that power of God, but it is not concentrated. If it is concentrated, it can become the mouthpiece of God. All masters have confirmed Guru Nanak's words. It is not I who speaks, but I say whatever God makes me say. They become the mouthpiece of God. Hazrat Musa, a Muslim prophet, has said, I do not speak, but whenever he asks me to say, I utter those words. They become the conscious co-workers of the divine plan and in all clearness see God doing everything, thereby knowing they are not the doers themselves. We also say that we are not the doers, but we do not see the fact. It does not matter how often we declare this, for in the end, we will still feel that we are doing everything. We just cannot believe it. We must break this I-hood. Otherwise, we will achieve nothing. Karmas or actions come under the heading of karma yoga, which means being bound by our own actions. How can we go through action without getting a reaction? Only when we truly see that self is not the doer, but God is. It is useless to merely say, I am not doing it, I am not doing it. Who is doing it? Deep in folds upon folds of the mind, we are thinking that we are the doers, and while this continues, we will have to continue to pay for our actions. If you sow a chili seed, the plant which sprouts forth will bear hundreds of chilies. Similarly, if you plant a mango sapling in the same ground, you will get mangoes. Therefore, the sharpness of the chilies and the sweetness of the mangoes will come out from the same soil. Whatever you sow, you will have to accept the similar fruit, and there is no escape for anyone as long as we do not become reactionless in action. Only that person who enjoys the inner experience of the holy Nam will come to see that God is doing all and not himself. He will then be called ne karma, which is to be actionless in action, as a conscious co-worker with the power of God in accordance with the divine plan. One Muslim fakir said that the great wrong we have done to ourselves could not even be done by one who is not only blind without eyes, but blind in reasoning also. That wrong is that we have forgotten the owner of this house. We, the soul, the indweller of the body, that which is controlling us in the body, is called God. So God and the soul are both residing in the same house. When one starts seeing the truth, one's eyehood will break away from one's heart. We have forgotten ourselves in the Maya, or illusion of forgetfulness, which started when we became conscious of the physical body. This consciousness of the body quickly developed into acceptance of the body as our identity. From then on, we regarded the world from the level of the body. Now the body is changing and the world is changing at the same minutely slow speed. Having decided that we are the body, we consider that this is the truth and nothing is changing. What a great forgetfulness! The literate and illiterate, the rich and poor, are all affected alike. For an example, a boat containing a number of people is drifting on the river. The speed of the boat and the water are both the same. One man gets out and stands on the shore. He shouts, "O brothers, come out quickly, for the boat is drifting away." The people gaze at the water and at the boat and think they are at a standstill, so they shout back, "What nonsense are you saying? We are not moving at all." If only we would come out of our worldly boat and see that in truth we are drifting away. The masters tell us, "You are building castles out of sand," for they have seen the truth, and we only draw inferences. And I will stop here and continue this at a future meeting. The name of this talk is called Out of Bondage, which can be found in the January 1970 Satsang Desh. Thank you, gracious Master.
And thank you, Christine, for reading for us. There were 63 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Prayer, you see, with prayer you can do sight things which you cannot even dream of, you see. Where all human efforts fail, there prayer succeeds, you see.